Are you struggling with remembering anatomy and are really confused on how to retain things? And what is their relevance? Anatomy is the most dreaded subject for many first-year students. Many find it to be a really information-intensive and fact-based subject. In this episode, we'll bust this myth and find the logic in anatomy and bring out the beauty of this subject. So let's get right to it. Hello dear listeners, this is Aditya Singh, final year medical student at All India Institute of Medical Sciences, Raipur. And it's been a while since I've seen you guys, but here I am again with another episode, finally after such a long time. And today we'll be discussing about one of the most dreaded topics, one of the most dreaded subjects in first year, that is anatomy. Now when you see books of physiology or biochemistry, which are the first year subjects, you just got one or two books that you can refer to the entire year. But anatomy has 9 books and such vast amounts of content that you need to learn in just 1 year. Now this content usually includes your gross anatomy, embryology, histology, osteology, radiology, and partly some surface anatomy. So all of these constitute a lot of information that you need to retain. So without further delay, let's get right to it. So first of all, I want to emphasize the fact that anatomy is not like other subjects. You cannot just mug up anatomy and excel at it. Anatomy is something that is very much visual, because the more you see, the more you'll understand and the more you'll retain. If you try to go around and remember attachments and insertions and relations of different organs, then you're gonna be stumped, because that is not how it is meant to be retained. What anatomy aims is to create a visual image inside your head of the various systems, the various organs, the various structures that are in our body, so that you are familiarized with them. Now, having said this, some people have an added advantage in this subject, because they have more of a visual kind of memory. So you guys can go ahead and check what kind of memory you have, what kind of learning methods that you use or are adapted to, using this questionnaire called as VARK questionnaire, V-A-R-K. You can go to Google and just find out what kind of learning method suits you. And if you are a visual learner, then anatomy is going to be really easy for you. So now let's move into anatomy proper. So, I would like to start with explaining embryology. So, this thing that needs to go into your heads is that embryology is the mother of anatomy. Everything that has been formed from a single cell, that is zygote, into a multicellular organism, that is the human body, is made through embryology. And if you understand how the various structures are formed, how they have went into development and evolution over time, then you can easily relate them to gross anatomy, and it becomes so much more easier to retain things, and also brings in logic to a subject that is usually considered as more factual than a logical subject. But this is totally, totally wrong. Anatomy is extremely logical if you go into the embryological development of every structure. Now, when you go about reading embryology, instead of trying to learn at what week what structure develops or what happens at what time, you should remember it as a story and imagine things moving around. For example, the looping of the heart tube, the rotation of the gut, the rotation of the limbs, the upper limbs laterally and the lower limbs medially, so that they acquire their anatomical position. And if you know this story, if you know this image in your head, embryology becomes so much more easier. You should also go ahead and use various animations that are available on YouTube, which will again emphasize on the visual aspect of embryology. Clinically, embryology is important in aspects of agenesis and dysgenesis of various organs in different diseases. For example, in pharyngeal arches, you can have the Treacher-Collins syndrome with the first arch syndrome, and agenesis or stenosis or such and such diseases can be related to embryology. And now that we are done with embryology, let's move into what we all dread, that is gross anatomy. Because gross anatomy includes upper limb, lower limb, abdomen, thorax, head and neck, and neuroanatomy. And reading about all these different structures seems very daunting. But if we look at it from a broad spectrum, from a bird's eye view, for example, we'll see that all of these organs are part of the same body and everything is interconnected. Something that goes through the thorax will eventually either go into the abdomen or the upper limbs. Anything from the abdomen might eventually go into the thorax or the lower limbs. Everything that is in the head will mostly stay in the head, except for a few things which go into the thorax. So everything is connected, and instead of reading them as segregated topics, you should try and correlate structures as to where they are moving from a particular part to a different part. And the crux of remembering anatomy is drawing diagrams. The more you draw, the more you will retain by visual learning. And you can see various sections and relations and try to correlate all of them together. You can also use these apps which have 3D anatomy models in them, and then you can better visualize different structures and their relations to each other. Now, what you can also use are different atlases of anatomy. For example, Netter's Atlas of Anatomy, which is a really, really well-drawn book with accurate diagrams. And Netter's Atlas is really helpful. Now, what you should also inculcate in the beginning itself is the language of anatomy, because describing structures in anatomy has its own method of description regarding relations of superior, inferior, anterior, posterior, dorsal, ventral, or lateral, medial, or median, or sagittal, coronal, and all these names are really important in regards to you writing an answer, because these will help you communicate what you want to the examiner in a much better way. Another thing that can make gross anatomy a bit more bearable and easy would be finding out the meanings of different words used in anatomy. For example, thyroid means a shield, so the thyroid cartilage is like a shield over the larynx. And coronary, in coronary artery, means like a crown. So corona means a crown. So the arteries sit like a crown over the heart. So that is how this different things have their origins in Latin and Greek. And by understanding the meanings of why these words were given to particular structures can be really helpful in anatomy. I'll be making separate episodes on how to approach different parts of gross anatomy, including upper limb, lower limb, abdomen, thorax, head and neck, and neuroanatomy in particular, but this is what the gist of learning gross anatomy goes. And moving on to the subjects which are derived from gross, so when you look at things grossly, you have to go into the microscope. So histology becomes a part of a subsection sort of for gross anatomy, and many of us are really confused about how to identify slides and how to look at slides, because a lot of people very, very frequently mistake the slides to be something else, and that is very common. So to go about histology, you should first view a slide in always scanner view, that is 4x. The more magnification you get, the lesser information you are providing yourself with. A scanner view is the best view to identify the slide. The more you zoom in, the less you get. So before a histology class, you should look at diagrams, look at images, look at pictures of various slides, and then go ahead and look at those things in the microscope and try to correlate that, and then make the diagrams. In that way, these would be much easily consolidated. Again, you can also use Anki by clicking pictures and putting them into Anki flashcards and then just driving those images into your head. That would be histology. Now moving on to osteology. Now bones are not a segregate entity. Bones are always connected to something or the other. Either bones are connected to themselves or they have muscles attached to them. which are in different compartments of muscular compartments. And then each compartment will have an artery and a vein and a nerve supplying it. So you should not study osteology as a separate entity, but while you are reading muscular attachments and insertions and muscular actions, it is at that moment that you should correlate it with the bones and the diagrams of the bones and the actual bones in the dissection hall. And that way it would become much easier for you to retain osteology. You can also draw things onto the bones using chalk of different colors, and that would again drive in that visual learning of anatomy. Sometimes even the attachments of the muscle themselves will tell you if the contraction of muscle will lead to what kind of movement at the joint. And you can just imagine that right away instead of memorizing it. Now, subsections of anatomy are also radiology partly. So you have to look at a few x-rays or a few contrast x-rays with skyograms and how to describe them. But these are mostly majorly part of orthopedics as a subject. But you just need to have a basic understanding in anatomy, just relating and knowing what structures you see on a skyogram and what are actually present there. Nextly, we also have surface anatomy. So there are these small sections in books like Vishram Singh or your B.D. Chaurasia, though I would highly recommend Vishram Singh as he integrates osteology, radiology partly, and even histology and embryology into his book. So Vishram Singh is, according to me, a more high-yield book in comparison to B.D. Chaurasia. Now, surface anatomy is the relation of the structures which are deeper in the body and trying to mark them on the skin itself. So basically identifying where the liver is by just marking it over the skin, or where the heart is, where the borders of the lungs are. So these are more important as part of surgical anatomy, as you will be learning about various approaches to different organs and parts of the body, and various landmarks which you'll use to identify different structures. So that is more of a surgery aspect, but this implies importance in anatomy also. Now, talking about some high yield methods of understanding anatomy. So first of all, you should definitely never miss your dissection halls, because in the dissection hall, you will actually get to see what you're reading. And believe me, you would never be going into the dissection hall after you leave first year. It is only the first years who get the privilege of entering the dissection hall and getting the hands-on dissection on the cadavers. And believe me, the part that you have dissected yourself will always, always be in your mind. And you would never be confused about the anatomy of that part. So never miss your dissection halls. Nextly, you should definitely use Anki for spaced repetition and active recall. There's this deck called Dope Anatomy Deck, which is really useful and helps to drive in anatomy using Netter's flashcards, and you should definitely go for it. Again, one thing which is more important is clinical anatomy. So we are not becoming anatomists by doing MBBS. We are trying to understand anatomy so that we can apply it in clinics. And that is why learning about clinical anatomy, the clinical relevance of different parts, becomes paramount in anatomy instead of going into details of variations in different structures. So whenever you write an answer in the examination, always, always include clinical anatomy into it. And that is why anatomy has been included as a subject. The books that I would recommend for anatomy would be Vishram Singh for majority of the gross anatomy, Neuroanatomy by Vishram Singh, then Histology by I.B. Singh, and again Embryology by I.B. Singh. Try to get the older editions of Embryology by I.B. Singh, because those are really concise and small. And for radiology and osteology and surface anatomy, Vishram Singh must be sufficient. So I think that would be enough. Do not go into books like Gray's Anatomy, because those are really intensive and are meant for core anatomy, and that is not what we are aiming for here. So that is it from my side. Thank you for listening, and hope you enjoyed the episode. Hope you learned something. If you did, definitely do subscribe, and new episodes will be released every other Sunday. And hopefully I'll be much regular into this. I do have my exams approaching soon, but I hope I will be able to make up with the schedule. And you can follow us on Instagram @thebetawavesmedico or email us @thebetawavesmedico@gmail.com. I will also be having a special Q&A session on account of we achieving 1,000 downloads. So I request you to send me questions that you'd like me to answer, and I'll definitely try to involve them into the next episode. So thank you for listening, and bye-bye.